I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
She told me the topic and I went, ugh. I did like, it was more of a noise than a word.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
A big size you pondered over what you're going to reveal.
Yeah.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about. Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that's haunted by the ghosts of our dead relationships. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
And I'm Sarah York.
And today we're dyking out with comedian Caitlin Reese about cheating. Caitlin performed in HBO's Women in Comedy Festival and was a finalist on Amazon Prime's Comics Watching Comics. And you can catch her performing stand-up all around New York and in festivals around the country. Caitlin, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
As this episode comes out, you have probably just walked off the stage at Stonewall and you killed it.
You did great.
Man, you're just really one of the best on the lineup.
I'm going to fall off the stage now.
Yeah.
Great. Prove us wrong.
You're going to kill somebody in the front row. That's how you're going to kill.
That will be the funniest thing I ever do on stage in my life, would be falling off the stage.
I mean, it's really the best form of comedy.
It is.
I think. Yeah.
Pratfalls are the originals.
Yeah. I've been following children getting hurt on Instagram pages.
Oh, that's so satisfying. I love it. I watched a video yesterday of it's like surveillance footage basically, but this woman was walking her little like 2-year-old and the kid fell into a manhole, but the kid's fine. Like, just to clear that up. And then like she lifts a manhole cover and throws it, which was kind of fucking awesome, because I was like, those things are heavy, and this woman was just flung it like with mom strength. And then someone came and they fished the kid out right away. But someone dubbed the video to like Super Nintendo. So they made like the sound when the kid fell, and then when he came back up.
That's amazing.
Fucking hilarious.
That's appropriate. I like it.
Yeah, grab
anyway,
your coins.
Kids falling in manholes is just evergreen. Always funny.
It really is.
Some quick announcements that we have.
More manholes.
If you don't know where your kid is, check the nearest manholes. On November 21st at 7 p.m., I'm going to be performing at the People's Improv Theater in the underground performance space doing a show as part of Solocom. It's called I Wrote This Yesterday. It's going to be a half hour of comedy written the day before because I like to procrastinate. And
what a perfect show for you.
Yeah, I wanted to put on a show, but I didn't want to have to do too much preparation or be stressed out about it and hating myself for procrastinating. So I'm like, why not do something where I literally can't do anything about it until the day before and then panic all day. And then
I look forward to this.
Yeah, I'll be in rare form that night. It's going to just be a half hour open mic starring me. What could go wrong? Our next show at Stonewall is Monday, November 28th. So come to that. We'll have Jess Solomon and Aman El Husseini, who have performed on the show before separately, but they'll be on it this time as the El Solomons.
Yes.
Duo act.
Oh my God. Just to clear up, that's Monday, November 25th.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's okay.
That's right.
But you got the Monday part right. Everyone knows it's the last Monday of the month.
Right. Well, Monday, November 25th is our next Stonewall show. And our last announcement is on Monday, December 16th, is our Dyke the Halls Holiday Spectacular at Joe's Pub.
What a mouthful for a show title. I love it. There are two queer puns in it.
Yeah. Well, the full name is Dyke the Halls, a Dyking Out Holiday Spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Just so everybody knows.
If ever, yeah. Like, talk about set. Like, we're not being accused of false advertising here. This is a gay-ass holiday show.
We're still planning, and if anybody knows where we can find some Butch Rockettes, I think that would be
I was just going to ask,
fun addition.
Spectacular mean there should be dancing? I feel like there's always...
Oh, yeah. There will be dancing... There will be music.
Are we going to dance? Are we going to...
I hope not.
I tried ripping Sarah into singing. And
yeah,
then
I think
we're like, let's bring
that.
Other people to do that. Like, my dream of singing on stage at Joe's Pub is just
slipping
never going to happen.
Fingers.
Why'd you move to New York, really?
Right. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, come to that. Tickets are on sale. You can go to the Joe's Pub website to get those. A glaring omission from last week's episode on bad lesbian movies, and we mentioned this on Instagram, but Jenny's Wedding. I just have to, shame on us for not bringing up Jenny's Wedding
with Katherine Heigl. I mean, who could forget? See, I get that one mixed up with her other wedding movie that she did, 27 Dresses.
Yeah.
So I just, in my mind, it's a mashup.
They're both equally gay.
She's in my mind, she's a lesbian who's in a lot of weddings as a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
And
might
then
as well
gets
be.
Her own. And I don't know.
There's never been less chemistry between two people. And my sister was watching it, and I was visiting her. It was after she had her first kid. I was like, what are you watching? What is this movie? Who is it for?
Right.
Because it's not for lesbians.
I don't know what any Katherine Heigl movie is for. Like, yeah. I don't know who she was supposed to appeal to at some point.
Who's the audience? Who's casting her?
Right,
Who's,
right.
I don't know.
Well, sorry we left that out for Jenny's wedding stands
that,
out there.
Yeah. I feel bad that Katherine Heigl gets so much hate.
I know, yeah. I shouldn't hate on her.
Is she like a bad person or is it just that?
I think everything I've read indicates that she's kind of a nightmare on a set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, aren't they all though? I'm going to be a huge nightmare on a set when I become famous, just to warn everyone who would potentially work with me.
Perfect.
Oh, and the other error was that Thelma and Louise do kiss in the movie.
I noticed
Kendall
that.
Was right.
I didn't. So you've seen Thelma and Louise?
Yes.
I forgot that they kiss.
We had like a mini debate on the last episode if they kiss each other
before
at the very end
the
before
cliff.
They drive off the cliff. Because we thought they didn't kiss, that they just held hands.
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene?
Yeah. But
apparently they do kiss.
It's not like romantic though, right?
No, but it's like. On the mouth, though.
It's on the mouth, and Gina Davis kind of does a little moan afterwards.
Yeah, and, you know, Gina, and they're both wearing high-waisted jeans, so.
Yeah.
I connected the dots.
I mean, that was, like, more lesbian kissing than Glee had in four seasons, so. I don't know. That was, I don't know if it just like my mind now is so saturated with queer things that I forgot about that. When I'm sure when I first saw it, I probably like clung to that visual
that's
for
one of
years
your, like,
and
gay roots. Yeah.
Moved on somehow. And Oh, another thing that I want to talk about is past guest Amber Rallo had
quite the weekend.
A week.
Mm-hmm. She, so did she produce that show or was she?
No. She was there supporting a comedian.
Kelly Bachman
was part of this show for actors and they were showcasing
some kind of like event, invite only
singers.
Event or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Actors Hour and, Amber went there to support her friend Kelly, who mm-hmm. she's in a band with. Hashtag Boys Drool. That's the name.
That's an awesome band.
Check it out. And yeah, and Harvey Weinstein was there.
Because he was invited by the fucking people who put on the event.
Not the first time either. That was actually the second show he was invited to.
It took place at a bar in New York called Downtime, if you have any extra eggs you want to fling at a building. And
add a Yelp review, even though this
their
whole
Yelp
thing
is
kind
tanked.
Of over.
I looked them up. It's pretty
fucking
hilarious.
It's good to space out the Yelp bombs.
And for anyone who's like, well, don't punish the venue. The venue had complete control over who walks in their fucking doors, believe me. And
they escorted out
the
people who are freaking out about Harvey Weinstein.
They were there to protect him. Yeah.
So to put Harvey Weinstein in a situation full of aspiring actors, which is who he targeted
literally
for his rapes and sexual assault. There's over 70 women who have accused him of sexual assault,
in
sexual
varying
harassment.
Degrees, yeah.
And of those, I think 14 are rape.
Yep. So he's a serial predator and they invited him into their building to sit there amongst aspiring actors. Yeah. Literally the very people he would groom as his victims. So,
and they were asked not to mention anything mm-hmm. about him being there when they were on stage, even though the organizer really tried to build this free speech defense for why he was there, which is insane and people don't understand free speech. Mm-hmm. And anyway, Kelly went up there and did an amazing job because I don't know in that situation if I could have thought on my feet. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. like the rage just kills any creative or funny mm-hmm. instinct that
your instinct to
that
just
you
like
want to
throw
have.
The mic in his head.
And both Kelly and Amber are rape survivors, mm-hmm. and the whole evening was so traumatic for them. But Kelly spoke up. Amber supported her, recorded the set, and Amber also went up to Harvey and called him a monster and told him he should disappear.
Good.
And was called a cunt by one of his goons.
Good.
And then
that's when you know you've won.
Yeah.
Amazing. So anyway, Amber's
very
the best.
Proud.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, it's our episode on stripping.
Yep.
Halloween is this week.
It is Halloween.
You don't like Halloween.
We've
talked about this before.
Like my general dislike for Halloween and my, just apathy towards astrology are kind of the two marks against me in the queer world. Uh-huh. This is the time of year where it's very obvious that I'm just a fraud in the community. Because I like do not, I just think, I don't know, I think Halloween is for kids. Like it's cute when kids celebrate it. But I think it's fine when adults do it, but I wish we would collectively decide we are celebrating Halloween on one night, mm-hmm. which generally is the Saturday closest to Halloween, so like last night. But it's the whole making it into like a whole month thing is exhausting mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
Like, why do we need a fucking month for this holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very silly.
I feel I have Halloween every night living on Bedford Ave.
Yeah, right? I know. I'm like, I live in Brooklyn. I don't need this.
Just drunk monsters year round.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you're also kind of like in Brooklyn, you're like, wait, like you don't want to, you can't just assume everything is a costume. It's like, this could just be how this person dresses. I don't know. This could just be a Saturday night for them. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, there was one time in Brooklyn that I was going to a Halloween themed show and they encouraged the audience to dress up and said it was a contest with a prize at the end. So I went dressed up. I won the contest. I was also the only person dressed up in the audience, but
that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. And, but I won and I had a fun time with the prize. And, I was walking around though in my Edward Scissorhands costume, which is awesome. It's mm-hmm. like spot on, full on Scissorhands mm-hmm. walking around Greenpoint. Nobody gave me a second glance.
Right.
Like nobody looked at me like and it was like not Halloween. It was like 2 weeks before Halloween.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
And nobody
thought that was...
Well, that's my approach too. When people dress up too early for Halloween, I'm like, I'm not going to acknowledge this person. I'm not giving this oxygen. Like, I can't...
I mean, I was glad. I was like, yeah. I don't like that I'm having to walk around. It was like 10 minutes from the train station that I have
Did
to walk around
Did you feel any pressure to like trim the hedges along the street or anything? Or any trees?
Yeah.
I would have like held the subway door with just like your claw
yeah.
hand.
Yeah.
Imagine you trying to like swipe your Metro card through.
That's what I want to see, the modern day. I want yeah. Edward Scissorhands set in New York.
Just trying to get through a day.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, I don't know. You went out for Halloween, but you went out this weekend.
Yes.
Dressed up?
No.
No.
So like, I know I got my, I like had a whole slutty outfit.
Yeah.
And then I got my period and I was like, no.
Never mind.
So I just dressed how I normally dress. And when I showed up to a party last night, they're like, you're Daria. I was like, fuck you guys. This is just who I am.
That's amazing.
I do think Daria and Jane is a good lesbian and couple
costumes. That's a good last minute because I know you guys all have the full costumes yes. in your closets as it is.
Exactly.
So. Right. We also had a listener share with me their Velma and Daphne couple's costume.
Oh, that's cute.
But the best thing is previously she'd done that couple's costume but with her ex-boyfriend as Fred.
Oh my God.
So I really love this idea of...
I do like love that.
A gay update on
yes.
your couple's costume.
Yeah, a gay reboot of a couple's costume in which you don't really have to make any changes.
Yeah.
Just wear the same one.
Yeah, just reclaim it. And then your ex will be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's an elaborate ruse.
Yeah. That's yeah. Great. I did want to go as the final scene in the Perfection, but I knew that one, nobody would know what that was.
Yeah, niche audience.
Mm. Yeah, too niche. And then also I just didn't have time for Halloween this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted that. To be a spam folder this year and just yell at people about Viagra and then like try to con people into giving me their social security number.
Right.
Wait, how is that different than your usual shtick?
That's how we met.
Yeah. Every time I see you, you're yelling at me about Viagra. It's not just for men, I swear. Yeah, no, I was too busy to get something together for Halloween because I went to California for a straight wedding and then
oh,
it was
yeah.
on a Wednesday. So you had to make like a whole thing out of it. You couldn't just right. go for
typical
the day of the
straight
wedding.
People.
Who commits on a Wednesday?
A whole week out of their wedding.
The nerve. No, it was a lot of fun. It was in Big Sur and I had some fears going into it. Being a comedian at a wedding where you don't know many of the people because mm-hmm. it was a small wedding. And I'm like, oh no, people are going to ask me a lot of questions about comedy and I don't want to talk about it. And they're
yeah.
going to ask me to tell them a joke. No, people were pretty good about it.
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah. They behaved yeah. themselves. I love that.
They behaved themselves. I was surprised. There was some fun in the fact that there was, there weren't that many single people there and there uh-huh. was only one single woman there. And
wow. And that's my worst nightmare.
And she was 73.
Okay.
I hope my friend's listening to this, that I'm just ratting out her.
Only single friend?
The drama wedding. No, it was her aunt. And ended up making out with one of the groom's friends who was like 28, 29.
I mean, I think
wow.
that's pretty awesome.
It's a pretty bad bitch move right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
A little Harold Ahmad.
Yeah, it was... It was pretty
I love
exciting.
That.
Yeah, we were all like, that's... Yeah. Amazing. That's too funny.
Way to go, Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I got to wear my suit again, which is my favorite thing to do now
yeah.
is wear a suit to a straight wedding.
Yep.
Yeah. And just really outshine the groom.
That's what we're all there for anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all there to be like, look what you could have had. Just conceptually, not me personally, but yeah.
You know, I think we're going to have a lot to say on
I think
our topic
so.
Today.
Let's get into
so
it.
Let's get into it. Cheating.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah.
She told me the topic and I went, ugh. I did like, it was more of a noise than a word.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
A big sigh. You pondered yeah. over what you're going to reveal.
Yeah. So cheating.
In this episode.
What are you guys, pro, con?
You bet we're all pro.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are, I feel like,
yeah.
pro cheating.
It's one of those things like, It's a thing that you've done or that I've done, but I'm not necessarily, I'm certainly like against it, obviously, in a way. I think it's nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. So my relationship with cheating personally is that I've been cheated on physically
mm-hmm.
and emotionally, and I don't really consider it cheating, but I made out with a guy at the end of one relationship because I needed to end the relationship and I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I was like, maybe I'll do something crazy that there's no coming back
from.
And
for
I just
sure.
made I out did with a guy at a bar.
Same thing.
Yeah. And I never told the person, but it was like, okay, now I've like crossed a line that I set for myself and I have to end it.
Yeah.
I literally said after we were done making out on my bed, I was like, hold on. And I called the person I was dating and I was like, we're done, right? And they're like, because we both kind of knew it was over, but no one had said it yet. And
yeah.
I was like, well, I'm officially hooking up with someone right now. So yeah. I'm going to like literally stop midway
Amazing.
To like make it official. Like, okay, we're not together, right? Like, I don't have to feel like an asshole. And they're like, yeah, we should end this. I was like, okay.
Great.
Mine didn't end quite as amicably.
Yeah. I've had some bad ones.
Yeah.
It was mostly a while. I mean, I don't know. I have more or less technically cheated on almost every girlfriend I've ever had, which is really shitty to say out loud.
Hashtag Sarah Not is the, trash.
Yeah, seriously. When I was like, and these are relationships that I had when I was like in my 20s. And I wouldn't say, and they weren't all like official relationships. Like they weren't all like girlfriend. They were just more people that I was dating, mm-hmm. but more often than not, it's that I wasn't, we were not communicative about like, the exclusivity thing.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of times, especially when two women get in a relationship, exclusivity is just assumed that this is what we're doing, or monogamy and that kind of thing. And so for me, it was more that we just hadn't communicated about it and I just did whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah.
So that was doing whatever the fuck I want was kind of a theme of my life until a few years ago.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. So... Yeah.
I feel like that happens a lot though, right? Like people will a little, I don't want to say take advantage, but you sense like those things, like those expectations were in place, right? But like, since we technically didn't talk about it, I forced that fucking conversation real early.
Yeah. Well, now it's like, I mean, now I would know better than to not have that, like, to have that established.
I feel like when you first start dating, when you're like a teenager or your early 20s or whenever you have your first relationship, like you go into it assuming you're exclusive or if you date earlier, like your middle school and high school relationships, like those were never open relationships. As soon as somebody says like, will you be my girlfriend? Then... you know, it's like exclusive, and then anything else would be cheating, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because when we're young, your only model of relationships generally is like parents or family or people on TV who are in monogamous marriages. That's like all we're exposed to.
And then cheating is always shown as this like
the
horrible
plot twist.
Thing.
Yeah, the bad thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying that cheating's a good thing, but it's always made to be like, you know, this is like the terrible thing, you never do it. And then like later in my 20s or like in college, you're being like a little bit more casual, and then you're having these relationships where you're like just kind of fooling around with people until somebody says like, are we exclusive?
Right.
At least that was my experience. So like I had people that I was like going on dates with and maybe hooking up with, but there was no expectation at all that we were exclusive.
Uh-huh.
But when I started dating my ex-wife, we were friends for so long first, but So I didn't know if that meant that once we crossed that line, if we were exclusive or not, or if we still had that like wiggle room. So like one time I was out without her and this other kind of friend acquaintance was being kind of flirty with me. And then I was like, oh man, I like wouldn't mind hooking up, but like, would that be cheating? Am I exclusive? I don't know. So I just like didn't, because I'm like, I don't want to fuck things up like from the start.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's been your experience?
So I didn't actually start dating till I was a lot older. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have my first relationship till I was 18.
That's super young. I didn't have my first relationship until I was like 23, 22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like literally didn't go on a date until then.
Same.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I grew, for me, like, it's actually like cheating actually really ties in. It's like, this is like sad, fucked up stuff, but like, so my dad was a piece of shit and cheated on my mom my whole life. My brother was always cheating on women, and they both like didn't respect and treat women well. And that actually fucked up me fully being gay, because I didn't want to be like them.
Yeah.
And like appreciate, I didn't want to like sexualize women or like even like it affected like masturbation, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I've been like so anti cheat, like obviously like cheating is wrong, but like I've been anti, I think, open relationships too, because I grew up around people just really like not respecting those like agreements.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've just like, I can't even like really go down that road. And I don't know how much of it is like what I actually think about it or just the way I was like kind of growing up being around stuff that was like a super big bummer to see that I was like, oh, well, if like, I don't want to be anything like you, then I'm going to be the kind of person that will always respect other people. Hence getting up in the middle of a hookup and being like, I got to make this right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like no one does that.
Yeah.
That's like compulsively trying to like be ethical. Yeah.
I think one or both my parents possibly having not been faithful to the marriage
mm-hmm.
also definitely shaped my thoughts and feelings mm-hmm. about cheating because, I mean, I know for sure what went on with one of my parents and then with the other one, it's a little like haven't really mm-hmm. talked directly about it, but because I still love this parent, you know, I had to kind of, not that I ever thought that the cheating was okay, because with cheating comes lying, right? Mm-hmm. And comes like lying about your whereabouts and mm-hmm. having a double life. And then that creates like stress and the people around you can feel it. And there's all that kind of stuff. But then I love my parent and mm-hmm. I didn't want to make them out to be a monster and couldn't have this mentality that like anybody who cheats is like evil and
right.
awful and they're terrible.
There's so much more to it than that.
Because
right.
for me, I had seen like a very humanized like, oh wow, being an adult in an unhappy marriage must be really hard. Mm-hmm. And this is like a survival mechanism or this is what this person thought they need to do. And they didn't think they had other options or whatever the reason is and like trying to justify that. So then later in my first serious relationship, when I got cheated on, it was like a real mind fuck of being like, well, you know, trying to understand it from their point of view uh-huh. and excuse like really shitty behavior. And then I was cheated on multiple times within yeah. that relationship because I kept like excusing it and trying to be sympathetic to that other person the way I had been to my own parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man, it,
That's like a very nuanced way to see things from a younger age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very different than my sister who was just like...
Wrote them off.
Fuck this other person.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, really hated the other person involved in the relationship and then like held it against my parent for like years mm-hmm. and really had a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I kind of was like, I can't be angry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was more like I'm kind of thinking back to, so I was in a 2-year relationship with someone who was like more or less when I met her identified as straight. She does not now. But when we met, I was in a relationship with somebody else at the time. And I was just kind of in this place where I felt I spent like a good amount of time after I moved to New York kind of building up my like confidence, and like it was the first time in my life that people were like sexually into me,
mm-hmm.
people that I wanted to also be into as well. And I was just kind of a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like I just didn't give a shit about anyone but myself. I was in a really selfish place. And in hindsight, I just should have never been in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And like I just kind of had this attitude of like, I will just do whatever feels good for me in the moment
yeah.
and I didn't really care about anyone else.
Yeah.
Which made me a shit fucking girlfriend to the person that I was with at that time. And I basically like lied to the woman that I had met that I got into a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I was very casual about my current relationship because she was like, don't you have a girlfriend? And I was like, yeah, but it's like an open thing, which was a fucking lie. Like, I just said it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just yeah. said it. Because I just thought I could, you know? Because in the relationship that I was in at the time, we were, like, never sleeping together. We didn't really connect on a personal level. I don't know what the fuck we were even doing. I honestly, and looking back, I definitely got with her to make somebody else jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of spun into, like, a live-in kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, it sucked. And it was, like, I look back on that and I'm like, I was such a piece of shit back then. And I never even like really acknowledged to the woman that I had met after, like, I promptly broke up with the person that I was living with at the time, got right into a new relationship with the straight woman from my job, mm-hmm. and we were together for 2 years, and I still, to this day, I haven't really told her that that was, like, bullshit.
Yeah.
That I told her in the beginning. Like, yeah. That was fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? But that was just kind of, like, I was just in this mindset where I felt like I deserved to be, like, happy and excited and fulfilled regardless of who else was involved. Mm-hmm. Like, which is quite literally, like, the worst way to approach relationships.
Yeah.
Which obviously I know now, but that was a really selfish point in my life. And that was, like, I don't know. I think more than anything, it just shows you how much you need to communicate with each other, because we shouldn't have been in that relationship anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And meeting someone new was just kind of like my convenient excuse to, like, bounce out. Yeah. And that wasn't even the only time in that relationship that I had, like, cheated on her, basically.
Yeah.
She has no idea about any of this, but, like, it just, I don't know. There was just something about being in a relationship that wasn't fulfilling in any possible way that facilitates those feelings so much easier. Like, that's not an excuse, but it's an explanation, where it's like relationships are so much more complicated than they are, like, on TV, you know? Cause, like, on TV you watch something and you're presented with, like, the sympathetic character, usually a woman, and then, like, her dickhead boyfriend who cheats on her, and you're like, how could that happen? But in real life, there's a lot more layers to it than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think, so you didn't tell your girlfriend at the time, or even after, what are your thoughts on after you've cheated, do you tell the person you're with?
I mean, do you still want to be with that person, or do you want to, I don't know. Like, I've never been in a position to want to be with the person that I had just cheated on. I always wanted out. And that was, like, my way to, like, justify just cutting off the relationship immediately and moving on.
So I've only emotionally cheated. I was actually in a relationship for 10 years. I spent my 20s being with one partner, and I emotionally cheated on them, like, hard. And our bond was so emotional that actually was such a big deal that I did, mm-hmm. took me like 6 months, but eventually was like, hey, I've been, like, having these really, like, intimate, close conversations with someone else that if you were to read them, I think it would look like we're almost in we weren't doing anything physical, but it was like we were basically doing everything else that you would do with, like, a companion. Yeah. And they were, like, really upset and hurt about it. And I was like, I'm going to stop doing it. And we were still together for years after that. But even, I actually think that emotional cheating hurts more.
It does.
Than physical cheating, 100%.
Someone who's been on the other end of both, I will say emotional was way worse for me. But also because the person who was doing it was in denial about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was being gaslit mm-hmm. when that was obviously what was happening. And you're also watching the person that you love be in love with someone else. Like you're witnessing.
Yes.
But, like, if someone has a physical affair, most of the time you're not witnessing it. Like, you don't see it happen.
Right.
It's only this kind of abstract thing in your mind of, like, okay, they said that this is what happened. I have this visual, but I didn't witness
it. Right.
But then if you, like, come across the messages between mm-hmm. The person you're with and somebody else, or if you see the way that they look at them when they're in the room and hear the shift in their voice, the way they talk about them, I felt like it was so much more painful than had they just physically cheated on me and said, oops, I made a mistake, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that.
Like, why don't you just fuck her? Why do you have to send her good morning and good night texts? You know what I mean?
That'd be easier.
Like, literally. Easier if you would
literally
just fuck
her. Good morning and good night texts.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that, like, so I had an experience where I was with a woman for 2 years after I've been in a lot of relationships, but I was in a 2-year relationship after my 10-year, and I went with them to Vancouver to finally meet their best friend who they talked about obsessively. And I never got a sense that it was, like, something to be concerned about. But then once we were together, we were there for a week with her, and they used to date her best friend and her. And
sounds very
good. Would have, like, literally, like, we would get a car and they would sit in the front and I would sit in the back. When we would walk, they would be next to each other and I would be behind them.
Yikes.
They were calling each other. I didn't even have a pet name with my ex, but they had pet names that they used. And, like, literally the ex-girlfriend had up all the Christmas gifts she was getting for, it was like Christmas time that week. Like, all the gifts she was getting for people, and all of her closest friends who were getting a gift that she was, like, checking off on this list had, like, just, it was like Sarah and Carolyn, right? But then my ex was like, whatever, snuggle puss. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this was the only person who was like,
it's Christmas gifts for their friends anyway. I don't do that shit for any of my friends.
But yeah, it was really intense.
That's a very submersive experience that you have where you're like in it.
Yes.
You're like, wow, I'm in this performance art right now.
Yeah.
That feels like I'm being punked. Is this fucking real?
I was stuck in another country watching the person I was in love with clearly still be in love with their ex.
Yikes.
For a week. And my phone wasn't working, so I couldn't even talk to my friends back home. I was just in a living hell. It
wow.
was awful. Yeah, and then...
Oh, my God.
Like, we literally went to couples therapy after that, because I was like...
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't see that. I was like, y'all need... I'm like, you could be friends with whoever you want to be friends with. I'm like, y'all need boundaries, and y'all still are clearly in love.
Yeah, like, get a fucking room.
But agreed. I almost wanted to be like, do y'all just want to take this room, and I'll sleep on the couch? Like,
yeah, do you want to go sleep on the train? Would that make you feel, is that good? I'm just going to head out.
Yeah.
Was she aware of this, or was she just like completely oblivious and just acting in a way that felt natural to her?
No, she was like making it that I was the one being like so ridiculous, of course. And I was like, yeah.
Gaslighting is a very real thing. And like kind of, I feel like the first tool in the kit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the first thing that you get when you approach that situation is you're gaslit immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know you're not crazy. Like,
right.
You know what you're seeing and you know what you're feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would never.
Yeah.
That's hard, especially being in another, you're in another country.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And they like weirdly like owned all the same stuff. Like they had the same backpack. They, for Christmas, accidentally got each other the same elephant painting.
Oh, how cute. I mean, this would be adorable if they were dating.
Exactly.
There needs to be a little office in the U.S. Embassy of every country that's just some dyke sitting there ready for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You walk in, you're like, I'm here with my girlfriend, and she is all over her best friend. I think they're in love. And she's like, say no more. And she presses a big red button, and a helicopter
just swoops
evacs
me.
You to the airport, and you get out of there.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a short film. Like a horror film.
She got in trouble with her previous partner, my ex, for having this dynamic, but they like took a break from talking, and she thought that it was like dealt with. So she was like, you're being ridiculous. I've already worked on this problem. I'm like, yo, it's
wait,
still.
So another girlfriend has had the problem with that same best friend. Okay. Hi. That's a pattern.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're making like everyone you're dating uncomfortable because you're clearly still in a relationship with your ex. She just happens to live in Ireland and you can't be with her.
Wow.
Oh my
God. It was insane.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, that sounds a little bit like my first relationship. Actually, the first girlfriend I had was obsessed with somebody who ended up being my second girlfriend.
Of course.
but like at the time, I was like, I wasn't threatened by it because I thought this other person was so clearly straight. Mm-hmm. But, and like, not that we were a good match for each other, but, and we all worked together and having to be around them, just watching them two have like more chemistry than we
yeah,
did.
That's
and
not like, fun.
And then I finally called it quits when it was Valentine's Day and my girlfriend bought a gift for this other person and hadn't gotten anything for me.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like late on my gift. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is over.
Cool. Yeah.
But it was that thing like I didn't want to, because like, nobody wants to be the jealous girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to, like, that's not attractive. So in any relationship, like, I don't like to be jealous of somebody or a situation until it gets to, like, code red level of inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't want somebody to be like, you're crazy. Like, what are you thinking?
Well, you don't
want
to be gaslit about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So right. I make sure I'm, like, in a place where, but then it's like, then things have already gone too far.
No, it's not criminal court. You don't have to build a case before you're uncomfortable about it. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, your instinct and your like gut, your gut feeling about it is probably correct.
Yeah.
You know, like it, if there's feelings between those two people, I can safely say I've never emotionally cheated on anyone.
Yeah.
It's always ever just been like physical. Cause I drink and do stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've emotionally fallen in with someone, but basically it literally immediately cut it off with the person that I was currently with, which is not great, but
but I think
one should not leapfrog into the next relationship ever.
Yeah.
But that's what it was.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the place I was in my late 20s is I was just a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about, like, I think your motivation for doing that stuff, right? It sounds like it usually, I think, has little to do with the other person that you're with.
Oh, it had nothing to do with
it. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's your own, like, self-discovery.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Which I could have used a therapist at that time. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just go from there, I guess. I don't know. And I think, and so what do you guys think about, like, I feel like I've seen a lot of examples lately of in my personal social circle of people who get into who are in a monogamous relationship and then decide, either one person decides or they both decide to do the open relationship thing. Mm-hmm. And it almost always never works out.
Exactly. Because you can't start
from
mono.
Right. You don't start from monogamy and go back, I don't think, to not.
Yeah, I also think that in those scenarios, it's usually one person who wants it more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then the other person's just trying to be, like, agreeable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or not.
Like, wow, maybe this will help save the relationship.
It's always a prelude to a breakup.
Always. It's like, it's dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
It's tech week for a breakup.
Yeah.
It's
let's
obvious.
Flail around while we still want to hold on to something.
Yeah. And I've noticed, like, in a couple of examples of friends that I have that have found themselves in, a long-term relationship where their partner wants an open one, it's specifically because of one person mm-hmm. that they want to sleep with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not they're not introducing it as a concept. It's more like,
yeah, it's
I
not
want
like
to
an
fuck
abstract
my coworker.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's kind of one of those things. And it is all, I feel like it's always a prelude to a breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but that doesn't, but to me, that doesn't discredit open relationships.
No.
Because I know people who are in very fucking healthy, successful,
sure,
fully sexually open relationships. But those two people are together on, like, their bedrock is like solid communication from jump, like from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that a lot of times when people ask for an open relationship, it's that they want permission to cheat.
Yeah.
But like, they don't want to be
they don't want to
cheat
cheater. Because they don't feel, because that would be bad, right?
That would be bad.
But like, if I get permission for it.
Yeah.
It's like if you get permission from your mom to like leave school early to go to like some sporting event or something, but like you do heroin on that event.
Yeah.
And you like you smack someone's meal, like you commit crimes.
Yeah.
While you're off school. Like, I got permission to leave school, but then I went and did something bad.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
I'm not completely guilty here. I don't know. It feels like you just want a hall pass,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which a hall pass is also fine if both people completely are okay with it.
I was in this, so that 10-year relationship, they were trans, and it like went a couple different ways with like identity and mm-hmm. presentation, and it got to a combination that was not sexually compatible for me and how we started. And then it got to the point where like we just weren't having sex and I was going to end the relationship, and they were like, I don't care about having sex. I just want to be with you. So why don't but we did the work. We like went to a therapist. We read Ethical Slut. We read Opening Up, like the two seminal books on doing this. Had a lot of conversations, like got ready to do it. But the reality was they didn't want to hook up with other people. They just wanted to be with me. And I was trying to like meet my needs physically. Mm-hmm. And it felt awful. Having like the work done, the communication done, having only one person really want to do it and act on it still felt like I was cheating, even though I had done everything on the up and up.
Yeah.
I felt awful. And I am just not built. I could try it again. Like moving here to New York has been, like, I think maybe, I don't know what scene or where you came from before you moved to New York, but I feel like
Nebraska. So
okay.
No scene.
Yeah. So I think also like when you're, for me, I've been a little bit acting out, I think, sexually since I moved here, because it just feels like I'm 16 and gay.
Same.
Again.
It's like you're going through this second puberty.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So I was testing. I've only been here for like a half a year, but I've been messing around with like questioning a lot of things and like testing out things in my sex life and with dating. But it's reconfirming that no, you haven't changed.
Yeah.
You don't actually want to be open. But I was like, I've been trying since I've been here, because it's like, oh my God, there's more than like one lesbian at a coffee shop for me to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I think that I mean, I'm the same way, that I've always been a monogamous person. Mm-hmm. And before, or like between my marriages, I guess, like the night that Cecilia and I first got together, we were both talking about how like we no longer believed in relationships. We didn't, or like long-term relationships or marriage, mm-hmm. and didn't even know if we wanted to be like monogamous anymore. And then neither of us ever dated anyone else.
Right. Right.
After that point. But even like, I don't know why I ever thought that. Even that one night that I thought like, yeah, I'm going to not be monogamous in my next relationship. Like, no, it would have never been.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, it would have never been me. Like for me, the like any pleasure that might come from like the thrill of being with someone else is negated by a billion other things. I feel like it can, like unless you have two people that are really going in with like the same exact mm-hmm. mindset and communicate it, I just feel like it only has potential to ruin things.
Yeah.
It can only introduce more problems that I can never see a situation in which that's worth it. And like, that's for me why it's always been easy to be monogamous, because
Because the other side of it is just too, it's like, it's chaos. It's
anarchy. I grew up with it. I grew up around infidelity, and I saw what it did both like emotionally and like the toll mm-hmm. it took on everybody. So, and I mean, that was cheating, but like even, I was bad at like casually dating two people at the same time. I was filled with so much guilt.
So fucking good at that.
Oh my God. If I liked one slightly better than the other, it killed me every day. I'm a monster.
Okay. But Sarah, you liked one more than the other, right?
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
But like, so one of the before I met my girlfriend that I'm with now, who I'm like for sure going to be with forever, I was in my healthiest relationship ever before her. Was a 6-month experience that I had just before I met her, in which I was casually, non-exclusively dating one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. But the thing with that is that we went into that together completely openly communicating that we were not exclusive with each other. We can date whoever the fuck we want. This was like, we're going to go on fun dates. We'll have sex. We'll, you know, and that's that, you know, and we, but that was that, those 6 months up to that point in my life was when I was at my most confident and my most honest. Mm-hmm. Like I never felt like I had to hide anything from her, because we were just like out in the open. That's what it is. And that's what worked best for us at that time.
Yeah.
Because she had just gotten out of a very long, very serious relationship that had been kind of blown up by her partner, who wanted an open thing anyway. So our needs sort of met at the perfect time, where we both like, you know, I had just gotten out of a relationship. Well, sort of just gotten out of one. And we both were just kind of like, yeah, let's just like fucking hang out. Mm-hmm. And if you meet someone, great. If I meet someone, great. Like we can go on dates, we can do whatever. And I felt so free and I felt so like, it was wonderful. But the key there is that it's when your needs and your communication have to match.
Yeah.
Like there's no circumstance in which, even if your communication is right on, if your needs are still imbalanced, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So for that time period, that's what worked for us. And we're still very good friends. We talk almost every day. And she's monogamous now with someone, and so am I. And it's like, and we're both so fucking happy. And,
yeah.
But that like time period was just kind of essential for both of us in different ways.
Mm.
So I think there's room for it. You know, there's room for those kinds of relationships that are not, I think monogamy itself is not for everyone. I mean, we know people in our personal life for whom it's probably never going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And they're in very healthy, wonderful relationships, but like I just can't stress enough how important it is that you're both completely on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not retroactive non-monogamy.
Right.
Like, retroactive, I have yet to see living proof that that works.
Yeah.
every friend I've ever had that like decided to go non-monogamous after being monogamous for a while, it always blows up, you know?
No. But you can, I think, I've seen it firsthand with friends where you can cheat and not end a relationship not in the most ideal way, usually through cheating,
mm-hmm.
and then start that new relationship with the person you were like, that was the side piece. That side piece has become, for some of my friends, their monogamous long-term partner that they're truly in love with and like would never cheat on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen that.
That's totally a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think like I've never been in a position where I was cheated on that I know of. I've definitely been in relationships that I thought were more serious on my end, but were not on the other end. And that I was like, in hindsight, I was clearly a rebound. And like that person was just emotionally detached from me and was still hung up on her ex.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, and all that shit. But my instinct was that the whole time I knew it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, I think just trust your instincts in relationships. If you're the one who feels like you're being emotionally cheated on, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You know?
What's your definitions of cheating? And I know this was in an episode of The L Word, not a season you saw, though. Yeah. So
it wasn't in the first three. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think obvious. I think any violation of whatever boundaries you and your partner have set up. If that's emotional cheating is a tough one because it's like, what is that?
For me, it's doing or saying anything that you wouldn't do or say in front of your...
Yes.
Doing anything you wouldn't want your partner to know about.
To see or to, like, read on a message or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I felt like my ex was, like, hiding how much they were texting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I saw it in the phone bill and saw that it was just, like...
Constant,
like, morning to night texting. And I was, like, I had no idea that you were texting this much with...
This one phone number,
right.
What's
going on here, you know?
I forgot that you saw that, like, in actual...
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I printed it and ran out of paper, so...
Yeah.
I mean, the physical stuff, the physical element of cheating, I think, is a little more black and white, obviously.
Sure.
You know, like, making out with someone or having sex or whatever, but, yeah, I don't know. What's your definition? Like, what do you...
I think it's definitely physical, and if it's emotional, I have an easier even though that hurts more. I have stayed with to my knowledge, I've only been emotionally cheated on. But I have no idea. But I think if I don't know, this is a hypothetical for being physically cheated on. But I think that would actually be such a big. I think that'd be doesn't make any sense. This is incongruent with like how I actually feel about emotional cheating, but I feel like I could actually stay with a person and try to delay breaking up from emotional, but physical, I think I just have to go. I have like really big pride, really big pride and like self-respect. And weirdly, even though intellectually I'm like, oh, but emotional cheating's worse. There's something about like, oh, now that I know you can physically do it, I'm like, I'm good. I know. I don't know. I feel like the weirdly, the emotional thing can pass if you're willing, if they're willing to do the work and put up those boundaries.
Yeah.
Like that ex that tortured me in Vancouver eventually did actually, because I was like, I'm breaking up with you because you're not like, you're making me insane with the situation.
Yeah.
And she was like, called up her ex and was like, we're going to take a break from talking because I don't want to lose my partner.
Yeah.
And like, we worked on it. And then when she started talking to her best friend again, like there was limitations to like what that dynamic was. And so I don't know, that showed me that like it was possible because she was willing to kind of break up with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree with that completely because that was, even though I think that the emotional cheating is more painful when I was being emotionally cheated on, I was still trying to make things work. And I'm like, look, you haven't done anything that can't be forgiven. Yeah. This is very painful. But if you're willing to just cut this person out, and they weren't. And it wasn't even, not only did they deny that they were having an emotional affair, but this other person was also engaged at the time. Yeah. Right. Like in a relationship at the time. And so it's not like I didn't even worry too much that something physical might have happened. I mean, that could have been in the realm of possibility, but they were definitely like both having
the non-physical thing was bad enough though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And but I felt like because it hadn't crossed into physical that I would be able to get over it. Where the problem with my other relationship where I was cheated on multiple times, I could never get over. Like the first two times it happened, I actually broke up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were long distance and I don't know. It was a lot of like breaking up, getting back together, And I guess like every time they cheated, I broke up and then we always got back together.
Yeah.
Eventually. Cause I made the mistake of like keeping that person in my life and letting them guilt trip me.
Yeah.
And that kept me from being able to move on to anybody else. But the anger of like being physically in the first couple times it was like just kissing, but the third time it was like full on sex with somebody
else. Full enchilada.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, that was really hard for me to get past.
I think like, and also I think to kind of like put a bow on this for like the queer community, particularly queer women, when women and men are in relationships to, you know, and they break up, there's a little more of like a, obviously in within like the confines of like the gender binary and blah, 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 in like the straight cishet community, it's easier for women and men to be like, don't talk, like, why are you still talking to your ex? You know, like, whereas in queer communities, we often remain friends with our exes.
Right. Sure.
More so than I think any other community. Like, obviously I can't speak on straight people's behalf, but from every one of my straight friends are not friends with their ex-boyfriends, you know, or and vice versa. So I'm sure a lot of people listening to this probably have a situation where they're with someone who is still best friends with their ex.
Yep.
Still fucking feels like a little bit annoyed about, you know, about it. And obviously everyone's situation is different, but I think it is important to listen to your gut if you feel like you're being gaslit about your partner's friendship with their ex. And if it is, even if it's not, like, it's kind of one of those things, like, impact is what's important, not intent.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like your partner, girlfriend, whatever, is, like, a little too emotionally, like, has not set up good boundaries with their ex or their best friend or whatever, it's okay to ask for those boundaries to be set. And I don't know, it's kind of one of those things, if you feel like there's something up, then there probably is, you know. Like, also, I just don't let yourself be made to feel crazy about it, because it's such a common occurrence in our community.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, for us, like, particularly for queer women, it's such a common thing in our world to remain friends with exes. And if you have a problem with it, that's okay. You're not crazy. You're not overreacting. However you feel is the truth, and that's okay.
That's what happened to me. The first time I was cheated on was that they made out with their ex, who I knew when we got together, they still weren't over, but I was just so excited to have a chance to be with this person. I was like, oh, they're going to get over their ex in no time now that I'm in town. Right. And boy, did that not happen. And I was being gaslit the entire time about how, like, I knew they weren't over it, but just about how not over it they were.
Yeah.
To the point where the ringtone for their ex was Blink-182's I Miss You.
Yikes. Oh my God.
That
ew.
Is so, right? Okay, now I know the exact time period in which this took place.
Yeah.
I want to rig a skateboard over them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It was, yeah.
I want to dress like Avril Lavigne. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What do y'all think about when your friends are cheating?
Oof, that's tough.
That's a great question.
I've been in that situation so many times.
I'm trying to think if I've been in a situation where, it would be hypothetical for me. The situation I've more found myself in is that I know that my friend is being cheated on, but there's no like evidence for it and we're just angry.
Yeah.
But if you're like good friends with someone who is like actively cheating on their partner, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, the biggest factor involved is how good of friends am I with their partner. If it's kind of like, oh, this is my friend's husband,
people,
or if it's like, this guy's like one of my good friends,
right,
and she's, you know, or whatever the situation is. My knee jerk to that is like, just fucking leave me out of it. Don't make me your alibi.
Yeah.
I don't want to get involved in your lie, you know?
Yeah, no, don't be like, involved in the lie, but I think that it's tough because normally I'd be like, I would stay out of it, but mm-hmm. also tell my friend, like, maybe you should break up or be
exactly.
honest about this.
Maybe you should
or
talk
like
about
do
it.
Something,
yeah.
but there's something going on there, and try to be yeah. open and available in like a non-judgmental way. Because maybe they just like really need someone to talk to.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I also have a friend who was cheated on a lot by her boyfriend. And had I known that he was doing that, I would have gone to her immediately.
Right, right.
And
but if
and,
it's your
and
friend
told her,
that's the one doing it, it's tough because
yeah.
you're like, I think what you said is right. Like the immediate conversation would be like, okay, especially at the age we're at now, I'd be like,
yeah.
you guys need to have a conversation about this. This relationship obviously isn't working. Why don't you proceed mm-hmm. with that or go to therapy or whatever? Like do something other than just fuck somebody else.
Right.
But yeah, it kind of... I wouldn't personally get involved. Like, I wouldn't go tell on them necessarily.
Yeah.
What's the situation you're in?
Yeah.
Oh, this, like, just... I mean, I've been in a couple of wild ones. So I was one of my... A very dear old friend who's been married for a long time was hooking up with a mutual... I was, like, friends with her husband and then also friends with a guy that she was, like, basically doing everything with in town because her husband didn't really like to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just, like, be out in our friend group and everyone thought that they were husband and wife, but they weren't. That was the significant other.
Oh, wow.
So that was really hairy and there was a lot of, like, lie for me. But the most recent situation, I was friends with fucking straight couples. Friends with another straight couple. And I was it was, like, one of my best friends was the dude. And I could see that he was starting to like act out in our friend group and like other guy friends were not calling him out on it. And I was like, yo, you need to, now that I know your girlfriend, I love her and she's my friend too now. So like buck the fuck up and mm-hmm. decide what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, I knew he was cheating on her. And so what I would do is I would just go to her and be like, I know you're miserable in this relationship. You need to get out. So I never actually said.
Yeah.
And now.
Yeah.
Now I don't talk to him and she's my bestest friend.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But during the time period where this was going on, it went on for like a year and a half.
And that's super awkward. And people that do that put their friends in a
yeah.
really tough position, especially if you're good friends with the couple, like as a unit.
Exactly.
Like it's kind of a fucked up thing to
right.
like expose your friend. If you're going to do that shit, don't let your friends find out either.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody needs to be in the dark.
There's also a difference between, not that one feels better than the other for the person being cheated mm-hmm. on, but between like being drunk and like having bad judgment or like
yeah.
well, a situational
like an
thing.
Affair kind of thing.
But,
yeah.
but if you're just like, I don't care, I'm going to do whatever I want and
uh-huh.
are just like a repeat offender, then that's like a situation
yeah.
where I feel like the other person kind of
and
needs
if you start involving your friends as like accessories to
right.
the crime, like
especially
if you're texting your friends like, hey, if he or she calls,
I'm with you.
Say we did
yeah.
when did this
yes.
thing or whatever, or don't post on social media tonight because I told them that I'm with you.
Yes,
like it, no, fuck off.
Yeah,
you can have your own little scheme going on, but I'm not involved in that.
I think if you know cheating has gone on and the other person doesn't know it and they become engaged.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to say something.
Ugh, I know.
But then you're like, oh my God, that's so much pressure.
It's yeah. so much pressure, but I
think if you're going to save someone from...
If I was in that situation, I would want to fucking know, oh, I know. Before mm-hmm. like legally yeah. entering.
And if it blows up in your face and like, if both the friends are like, fuck you, we're great. We worked through our problems and you snitched on him. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm not friends with either of you then.
Yeah.
yeah. I don't want your yeah. I feel bullshit like it, drama it's anyway. Worth risking yeah. the friendship.
It depends on like the character of the
You're
people
You're jumping
involved.
On a grenade there.
Totally.
And
yeah.
I think that's needed. Yeah. All right. Well, cheating. Probably you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, just communicate about your needs, for God's sake.
Yeah, communicate, yeah. communicate, get therapy.
Uh-huh.
And our listener question.
Great.
Okay. My girlfriend and I both have our own shit going on, and we've been together for almost a year, and it's pretty serious. I'm on medication and see a counselor regularly. My girlfriend has been struggling really hard with her own mental health lately and is resistant to medication but willing to try counseling. She's concerned that we trigger each other. We are still learning how to work together so that both our needs are met. I'm wondering if you have ever had any experience or know of folks who have experienced a relationship when both partners are struggling with their mental health. I found that it's not an easy topic to research.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Welcome to every relationship I've had.
Yeah. yeah.
I've definitely been in a relationship where we both trigger each other's
oh, hell
worst
yeah.
instincts yep. constantly, and it didn't work out. And yeah. now we're both way happier not with each other.
Yeah.
And that's the extent of my experience, regardless of any mental health issues involved. If you're
yeah, I think
triggering
they're
each
different.
Other, if you're picking fights, and if you're,
yeah.
if you're just kind of like have this adversarial relationship in that way, it's not good.
I think everyone has like a natural response to conflict or situations. And if it becomes this like really like traumatic dance that you do where mm-hmm. like this person does this thing that you don't like and it makes you respond in a way that then sets them
they don't
like, yeah. And then everyone's yeah. like, someone's angry, someone's crying. It always becomes, I don't know. I was in a couple of relationships like this and it just became very clear that it was like, we can work on this till we're mm-hmm. blue in the face. We're just not meant to be together.
Yeah. Like, light a firecracker and yeah. you throw it into a pile of fireworks yeah. and all of a sudden pop, 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 it all just goes off.
Because then yeah. you see how easy it can be when you're dating someone mm-hmm. who is just like maybe a little bit lighter in the areas you're not. And you find like you can realize like, oh, we're naturally already so much more like complimenting each other, even if I think most people have mental health issues.
Yeah.
I definitely think. Yeah.
I don't know anyone who doesn't, frankly.
Yeah. yeah. I think two people having mental health issues, like it, a lot of times it's like, how much is someone willing to admit to them?
Yeah.
One. And that, like you both said, it depends on if the triggers are something that you really can't talk through or work around or mm-hmm. be
or worse
aware
that
of.
You intentionally set off on each other to elicit an emotional reaction, that kind yeah. of thing.
But, you know, from my own experience, so Cecilia struggles with PTSD and is on medication for that and goes to therapy. And I have been going to therapy recently. I'm not on medication, but I do have like increasing anxiety issues. And going to therapy has helped a lot. And one thing that we do is we talk about our therapy session, which you like don't have to do, but mm-hmm. we actually like enjoy telling each other what we've learned about ourselves. And
yeah.
then that way when things happen and... our reactions are triggered by either our, you know, for her PTSD and whatever issues that she has. And my reactions to things are triggered by anxiety. We're both aware of like, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And can kind of like call it out and ground the situation immediately and be like, oh, this isn't about what just transpired here. This is actually about this thing that you're dealing with. It's like, oh, wow, you're right. Let me just like take like 10 seconds
and
to calm
And that's always the
down.
Case, yeah. right? It's yeah. never about the thing you're talking about.
Yes.
Never. Also, never. I think to the listener, even though like we're talking in generalities, I think it's so important that regardless of whether this relationship works out or not, like you're learning really important stuff for future relationships, even if y'all are in a triggering situation, mm-hmm. little negative dance that you can't get out of. So like pay attention to what's happening.
Yeah. 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 The fact that she's open to counseling is
yeah,
great.
That's rad.
I understand being resistant to medication. You know, some people, there's nothing wrong with being on medication, but I know that until like mm-hmm. I feel like I can't function day to day that I wouldn't want to be on medication.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people that have a lot of success with especially a combination of therapy and meds. You
yeah.
know? That's great.
Like
but it depends on the person.
Exactly. Like yeah. I know people who like didn't wait until it got like there is a danger in waiting until it gets to like a really bad point to get on medication. I know some people with just like moderate anxiety who have recently gone on anti-anxiety meds and they're like, wow, I didn't know that life could be this much better. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, just be patient and keep communicating and hopefully.
And if it doesn't get any better, then break up.
Yeah.
And use this as put this in your toolkit for your next relationship.
Totally.
Perfect. So, Caitlin, where can people find you on social media and come see your shows?
My user handle is the Caitlin Reese on Instagram, Twitter, and then my website is just CaitlinReese.com. And on my Insta stories, I always usually put up where I'm going. So I just got into San Francisco Sketch Fest.
Awesome.
So I'll be out there in January. Fun. I'm really excited. Cool. And then I'm going to do Fest next weekend in Gainesville, Florida, which is like a punk rock festival that's going to have a comedy tent going on Saturday and Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like Dag Nasty and Joyce Manor and like Against Me. And
cool.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. It got sold out like in 48 hours. So
that's amazing.
It's going to be interesting doing comedy in a tent during the day. But I think there's going to be a lot of drunk punks who are like, let's check out what's going on in here.
Cool.
Well,
yeah.
I know from Bonnaroo, the comedy tent was like the only air-conditioned place in all of Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
So it was always like, let's check out what comedy is going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
Awesome. And then you can follow us at Dyking Out on every handle. And you can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
And I'm at the Sarah York.
Thank you so much for Dyking Out with us.
See you soon.
Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.